Let's stand to our feet. And as we're going to honor the reading of God's Word, we're going to honor the one that wrote the Word.
Amen.
And boy, I tell you, thank God for the Word of God this morning. I need all the help I can get this morning. Boy, I tell you, the further I get in this thing, the more I realize how feeble I am. I do. I realize how feeble I truly am. And that we need all the humility and that and need the grace of God. You know, the Bible said that He resisteth the proud, but giveth more grace to the humble. And boy, we need that in our life. Amen. We need humility in our life. Boy, we thank God for the help that He does give us. I just want to be humble and that before God today. I'm going to read some very familiar scripture today. And I want to preach a message. Boy, I tell you, Jeff was all over it in Sunday school this morning. I tell you, and it did. It blessed my heart. That Sunday school lesson did. It was good this morning. Amen. Talking about what the Lord Jesus done for us so that we might be saved. I want to look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look in verses 18 and 19. The Bible said, "For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, and without spots." You can be seated this morning, and we're going to ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we come to you now today. Lord, we certainly need a touch in that for a little while. Lord, we just need the devil held at bay and need all hindrances in that done away with. And Lord, we thank you this morning in that for saving us. And I thank you for the assurance and that of salvation today. And Lord, we ask and pray that anybody under the sound of our voice today, whether it's here in this house or by web radio, we pray today that God, that they might get saved before it's eternally too late. God, we just ask this morning that you just burn this into our heart and into those that are sitting here to realize what you've done for us so that we truly might be saved. Lord, I pray we'd be humble in that before you. Lord, that we'd have humility and that you would help us and that to preach now. Now, I want to tell you again that we love you and thank you for Jesus who loved us and died for us so that we might be saved. Lord, guard our mouth and guide our mouth today and help our heart, for we stand in need of you. Now help us now for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach with a thought this morning on the price of our redemption. That word price is simply means a sum or amount of money at which a thing is valued. Now that may not mean what it's worth, the price of something, but it means that somebody has tied a value and that to something. I'll never forget years ago when I was subcontracting a little work up there where Brother Jeff works at, and I'd eat lunch with them boys. And Brother Jeff, remember this? And we was all sitting around, there's about four of us sitting around the table eating lunch, and I remember there's a fellow to my left. We were talking about skeet shooting, and he said, "You know, I've got a skeet thrower for sale." And he said, I said, "Well, I'd like to buy that thing." I said, "Why don't you price that thing?" And Jeff was sitting right across from us. And me and this other fellow never heard what Brother Jeff said. And he said, now, I don't know if this is turned on. I never heard it. But he said, "I'll start the auction at $10. I'll give $10 for that ski throw." Now, I never heard him say that. And here's what I did. I said, "Bill," I said, "I'll give you $5 for that ski thrower." And you know what Bill said? He said, "Sold." And Jeff said, "I've never seen an auction go backwards." But you know what? Bill had valued his skeet thrower at $5. I said, "I'll give you $5. And he said, "I'll take $5 for it." Now, if he'd have been listening, that was one of them cases where he was talking. When he should have been listening, he could have got $10 out of it. $5 more than what he valued for it. But I want you to understand something. We value things different. Listen, I may value something a little different than you might value something. Listen, I value this old yellow handle knife. I carried this thing. It's got one broke blade and the case emblem is missing. Where you all have watched me, I take it and throw it up and it's hit the concrete so many times, but I wouldn't take nothing for it. This is mine now. Listen, I've carried this thing forever and a day. I bought it for $10. I thought it was a pretty good deal for a case knife to give $10 for it. But see, we value and that things are different. In 1 Chronicles, I'm getting somewhere, okay? In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, when David had sinned against God and numbered the children of Israel, you find that God had sent that plague and that angel out there, and he was a killing all of them, and finally got down there to Ornan's threshing floor, and the plague of God stopped, and right there's where David said, I'm going to buy this piece of ground and build an altar to God, and he said, I'll pay the full price for it. He said, I'll give you the full price. Ornan was going to give it to him, and he said, no way. He said, I'm going to buy it. He said, I'll pay the full price. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 31, it talks about the virtuous woman, how that her price is far above rubies. Hey, ladies, y'all got a price today. Y'all got a price. The Bible said that virtuous woman, the one that's held on to her virtue and lives in virtue, that her price is far above rubies. Amen. But let me say this today, that if you're saved, that you're a bought person. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians over there, I believe it was at one point, that he says that you're bought, and that with a price. You're bought with a price. I'm getting way ahead of myself today. But let me say this. And if you look at Matthew chapter 13, I want you to take your Bible and go over here, and I'm going to preach a little while. God be in our help. You pray for me, okay? Matthew chapter 13. We find seven parables in the book of Matthew chapter 13. And I've taught these and preached on these on a Sunday night before years ago. And I remember the first time that I preached on the sower, on the parable of the sower. And I remember there was a young lady sat back here on the left-hand side of the church. I watched her, and this is how ignorant I was. As I preached, she sat back there and cried. And I didn't even realize she's sitting under. I thought, boy, she's had a bad day. Something's wrong. No, God was just bothering her. And boy, ain't you glad God can still bother people. Yeah. Man, I'm glad God can still disturb hearts today and do that. I'm glad God disturbed my heart one Sunday night. Amen. Thank God for that. And I got saved. I'm glad it still speaks and that to my heart. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter 13. I want you to look at what the Bible says in verse 45. Matthew 13, verse 45, we're going to preach a while. And the Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And I tell you today that was the Lord Jesus. He's the one that was seeking and that the pearl of great price. And you know where he found the pearl of great price? In you today. Amen. He found the pearl of great price in me and you. And he was willing to give all that he had so that we might be saved. Luke 19 and 10 says that for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want you to look, number one, first of all, at the people who needed redeeming. I want you to look at what he said in the text verse. He said, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. Hey, that's us. Do you realize that all mankind needed redeeming? Do you realize that you fall into that position? You fell into that place and still do today. If you're lost and undone without God, you need redeeming. You are part of the devil's family. You say, well, now, preacher, I've never been part of that. Oh, yeah, you are. Let me say this morning. That's what you need to be saved from. Listen, he's got you. He's holding on to you. He don't want to turn loose of you. What Adam done to us over there in the garden when he partook of that apple. We'll say that apple, amen. Hey, you know, Daddy was telling me the other day, hey, you know where the first computer is mentioned in the Bible at? Huh? Where's that? You find it. You find it in the Garden of Eden, don't you? Well, what do you mean? Well, it was an apple, wasn't it? It only had two bites took out of it, and then it crashed, didn't it? Amen. Hey, y'all catch on that after a while. But listen, you know what happened when Adam, not when Eve, but when Adam partook of that fruit, hey, she was the one that was in deception, but he was not. He knew what he was doing when he done it. And so here we are. And so here all of us from Adam on, that was born into this world, was born a sinner. Romans chapter 3. Oh, by the way, this will be very simple this morning. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me say today, if you've never been saved, that's you. And if you have, that's still you today. Listen, you need to get saved. Listen, I don't care how high you value yourself. I don't care what your price is on you. I can tell you right now, our value ain't nothing. Amen.
Right.
Our value ain't nothing. Do you realize that you're not worth anything to the devil? He would just as soon as you're destroyed and spend eternity in hell. But listen, Jesus don't want you to do that today. Listen, you say the devil don't have me. Hey, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in meekness instructing those that oppose himself, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Do you realize that he's got you? You know, we say that man is a free moral agent and that he is willful and he does as he pleases, but that really ain't true. That really ain't true. The devil takes captive of you when he wants to.
Come on.
At his will. He has you.
Amen.
If you're lost today, you need to get saved. How about, listen, the price of our redemption. Do you realize that? Well, I tell you what a great day it is when you realize that we're just not worth anything. I mean, what are we made up out of? Well, we're made up out of water and dirt. That's all we are. And what's water and dirt worth? Not a thing. Not a thing. I don't know how much water they say is in us. I don't know. I ain't no doctor and all those things. But listen, we're just water and dirt and turn into mud. You know what? When you draw your last breath and it exhales out of you and your heart quits beating and your brain waves cease to function, friend, we put you back in the ground. You'll return to the dirt that you come from. This body ain't worth nothing. But what matters is whether you've trusted Jesus or not. And so we hold ourselves high in value. So he said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed. Now look at what he said, with corruptible things. And then he read it off as silver and gold. In other words, something that in this life is worth something. I carry a little bit of silver here and if I'd been thinking, I'd brought a couple of gold coins with me, but I didn't think of it. But you know that that money's only worth what it'll buy out. What are you talking about, preacher? That money's only worth, you say, well, it says it's worth $20 and A's a 10. I believe they should be a 5 in there. And so he said, well, there's $35 there. So that would buy $35 worth of goods. Well, it'll only buy $35 worth of goods if somebody wants to sell you $35 worth of goods. Are you following me? Let me say this. This money only buys what somebody's willing to sell it to you for. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you may have $35. The math may equal up to $35. But what I'm saying is, friend, is this stuff is corruptible.
Amen.
This stuff can come to an end. Hey, listen, when Germany was crashing over there in World War II, they just had wheelbarrows full of German money, German francs, and that stuff wasn't worth nothing. Why? It's corruptible. You realize, and then it says that silver and gold. Hey, you know, they tell me that gold has held its value. It'll still buy the same thing today that it bought 100 years ago. If you want a pair of homemade boots or handmade boots, you know, you can have a $20 gold piece, it'd buy them. 100 years ago, it'd buy them. $20 gold piece, buy handmade boots. You know what a $20 gold piece would buy today? Handmade boots. That $20 gold piece is probably worth about $700 today. See what I'm saying? But you know what? You know what the Lord Jesus said? That stuff that we say that increases in value, that silver and gold that everybody's hoarding up, that everybody's holding on to, you weren't redeemed with that. Money cannot redeem you. As much as we'd love to have money, as much as we want money, and as much as we need money, it cannot redeem you. I want you to look what he said. He said, silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But in verse 19, he said, but with the precious blood of Christ. As I thought about this, as Brother Jeff was a teaching, I pinned out here on my outline, who am I? Who am I that a king would come and die for?
Right.
Who am I that a king would come and bleed for me that I might be saved? Listen, we're the people that needed to be redeemed. But he's the person that was willing to come and do it all. I want you to look. God, you make this real now. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Here lately, I've just been thinking about this man called Jesus. I think we lose sight of him a lot of times, church. I really do. I think we end up a little more like Martha than we do like Mary. I think we get cumbered a lot about serving than we do sitting at Jesus' feet. What are you talking about? I'm talking about living for him. I'm talking about being for, I'm talking about realizing that he's a real person. As I have a relationship with my wife, as I have a relationship with you all and talk to you all and fellowship with you all and spend time with you all, hey, he's a real person. And we ought to fellowship with him and talk to him and love on him and let him love on us. But it said right here that he came as the lamb, but with the precious blood of Christ. As he seen the pearl of great price over there in the field that he wanted. And when he had found it, the Bible said that when he had found that one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. When Jesus came and his brother Jeff taught so good in Sunday school, listen, when he came and that to shed his blood, that's what it took for our redemption. Right. He could have gave his life. They could have took him and killed him, hit him in the head, friend, but it wouldn't have worked. He must have shed his blood for us so that we might be saved. You know what bought me and you? The blood that ran red and that from Roman the Roman whipping post. Boy, can you imagine? He had prayed over there in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible said that his sweat became as great drops of blood. And from the Garden of Gethsemane, they come and cut him and took him to a hall called Praetorium. And there they tried him. And there they tied him to a Roman whipping post and beat on him. Mercilessly. I can imagine as that thing come and whipped on him and ripped him and pulled meat off his chest and off his face. Friend, then not only in that hall did they not only take and plant him with a crown of thorns and take that reed and beat on his head. And here come blood just running down. Blood, as I've told you many times, that he was a bloody mess.
Yes.
Bible said in Isaiah 52 that his visage was marred more than any man.
Yeah.
And listen, Jesus bled and bled and bled. And then they took him to Calvary. The Bible said in Luke chapter 23 and 33, I believe it was, when they took him over there, that they took him to a place called Calvary. And there they crucified him. Now I said this here a while back, and I don't remember if it's last Sunday or last Wednesday night, and if you've heard it, then you listen again. But I always wonder about the Lord. When he created this world, and that little place called Calvary got created, I think about that. I kind of wonder if a little old tear might not have come to his eye. For he knew what he was facing. I think about when that tree sprung up out of the ground. That he knew that he was going to be hung on. Because God was watching that stuff, you see. When that tree, I don't know what the Bible don't tell us what kind of tree it was. Songwriters has said, dogwood, I don't know. But listen, friend, I kind of wonder about when that tree came up out of the ground. Maybe a little tear come to his eye. I even got to thinking about when that vein of iron was created down there in the earth. And they know that they's going to take and smelt that iron and make them rusty nails, or what we call them rusty nails. God didn't know exactly where that vein of iron was that they's going to create them nails that was going to hold him, or that they were going to pierce him with. at Calvary. Do you realize that Jesus shed His blood so that you could be saved? He bought us. He bought us. The price of our redemption is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was perfect blood. The Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." It was perfect blood. When He came perfect. He was born perfect over there, and she laid Him in that manger. Had been conceived in that of the Holy Spirit of God. Man had nothing to do with that. But the Bible said right here that not only was it perfect blood, but that it was precious blood. You know what that word precious means? Of great value. Because you know our blood ain't worth nothing.
That's right.
You take my blood out. The only thing that my blood is good is to keep me living.
That's right.
The life of the flesh is in the blood, the Bible says in the book of Leviticus. And that's the only thing that'll keep me living. But you know what's going to keep me living for all eternity? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what I was purchased with. That's what I was bought with. Hey, listen today. If you've never been saved, if you've never had the blood applied, then you're dying lost in your sin and need to get saved. But it was purchasing blood. It said right here that we were redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 said, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us."
That's right.
Jesus went to heaven, took His blood into the holy place, and bought and paid for our redemption. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. I want you to look in Isaiah chapter 53. Some of the greatest prophecy in that concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and Calvary. Bible said that He was a lamb, as a precious, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without spot, without blemish. I want you to look in verse 5 of Isaiah 53. "But He was wounded for our transgressions; He was bruised for our..." How do you know that this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? One, we know from prophecy, but two, we know from Acts chapter 8. Philip got down there with that eunuch, and the eunuch's reading the same scripture that I'm reading right now. And I love that story. Thank God for that story. That the Bible said that when he got done talking there, that eunuch, and the Bible said, and Philip began the same scripture and began to preach Jesus. I'll never forget what he done for me.
Amen.
Boy loved even me. "But He was wounded for our transgressions; He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray; we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord," now watch this right here, "and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Do you realize that our sin was placed on Jesus at Calvary? From that third hour that the Lord looked down, 9 o'clock in the morning, and all this started, He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, "He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before His shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken," again for sin. "And He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was there deceit, any deceit in His mouth. He was perfect, sinless. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands." You see what it said in verse 10, that he's going to put him to grief and make his soul an offering for sin. Verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I believe that the Lord God looked down from heaven. There, the Bible tells us about that sixth hour that he looked down from heaven and he turned the lights out. And it went dark from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. And so for 3 hours, it's a dark at Calvary. It's dark across the whole world. And Jesus at one point cries out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was at Calvary. And he was forsaken. Do you realize that? Do you realize he done all this for me and you? Boy, I tell you, I miss it so much. I miss it and I mess it up and I forget a lot of times. Boy, how much he loved me. Boy, I'm glad Jesus loved me.
Glory to God.
Boy, one of the first songs we teach these youngins to sing is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I think that'd be good for our choir to sing sometimes. It'd just be good to be reminded that Jesus loves us and that he loves sinners. I know that doctrine went around maybe 15, 18, 20 years ago, and it's probably still running somewhere. Well, as a matter of fact, I know it is. I had a preacher call and talk to me about it the other day. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you don't believe God and the Lord Jesus don't love sinners, you might as well shut your Bible and go home.
Amen.
And I mean that with all my heart. Because the Bible said in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Right.
Perfect love was hanging at Calvary.
Amen.
Perfect love. He died for you and me so that we might be saved. But he was a person that was willing to spend all that he had, all that he could to get me and you. It was the atonement that was made. The price, the value, the price of our redemption was Jesus. I don't think I'm doing it well enough this morning, church, but I tell you, we miss it. If we ain't careful, what he done for us. He shed his blood so that me and you might be saved. But the person who was willing to spend all, if you go back and you look, when he found that goodly pearl, he was looking for goodly pearls. And the Bible said, and when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and spent all that he had to get it. Do you realize that the Lord spent all that he had so that he could get you?
Right.
He wants you. He wants to save you. He wants to clean you and make you white and pure in him. Hey, Revelations 1 and 5 said, unto him that loveth us and washes us from our sins in his own blood. But the price of our redemption was his blood. But you know, the praise of our redemption is our mouth. The Bible said in Psalms 107, to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We ought to say so.
Amen.
If you're redeemed, hey, we sing that old song, page 277. I'm redeemed. Thank God for that song. Hey, when I was a boy, we sang another song growing up, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. And I've been singing that song for the past couple of days. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Hey, listen, when I got saved, listen, I got redeemed. I got bought and paid for.
Right.
I got bought and paid for. Listen, the praise of our redemption, we ought to be able to sing it. We ought to be able to shout it. We ought to be able to tell it. We should tell it. We ought to be able to rejoice in the salvation that we have in him today. Take your Bible and look in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to close. I know I've been short. But Luke chapter 15, I think I've been short anyway. Luke seems short to me, amen. Luke chapter 15. Look in verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Let me stop right here. Let me stop. Now, Bible said right here that he leaves the 99 just persons that need no repentance. And he goes and he looks for the one. And he compares it and that to a sheep and a shepherd. And he said the shepherd goes out and he goes and finds that one lost sheep. And the Bible said that he didn't leave it home by hand. I didn't say that it put a leash about him or that he kept guiding him with a shepherd's staff. The Bible said that he laid him up on his shoulders. Now, y'all have heard me talk about this before. A lot of times when the shepherd would carry the sheep, he would lay their front legs over here and their back legs over here and carry them. Now, you know why a lot of times that do that? A lot of times either that sheep had ate too much, or that sheep had got in a place to where it got flipped upside down and couldn't do nothing for itself. Now, I don't talk about the sheep really, but I think about the sheep a lot of times when I read this. You reckon he was happy to see the shepherd come? Now think about this for just a second. I think about some of the messages that I've been in over the years, and I've been glad to see the shepherd come. I've been glad that he showed up when he came. Amen. I've been glad that he come by. Hey, I was glad that he come by one Sunday night and found me sitting in a Baptist church needing to get saved. Amen. And he come, the only one, I believe, in that whole church that night. I don't know about anybody else's heart, but I sure did needed to get saved. And boy, he came. You know what? The shepherd came. He took that shepherd's staff and he pulled me up out of that ditch that I was laying in. And he said, "Why don't you come to me?" And so he reached down and he got that sheep. And the Bible said that he throwed him up over his shoulders. And the Bible said, and when he hath found it, he rejoiced.
Yeah.
Now I believe the sheep probably rejoiced. But you know that the shepherd rejoiced. I believe God in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ, when a sinner comes and gets saved, I believe they rejoice.
Amen.
Well, I believe they rejoice. I do. I believe that Jesus rejoices. Hey, he gave his life for you so that you could be saved. And the Bible said in verse 6, and when he cometh home, he called together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was astray," or which was lost. And so he said, not only am I going to rejoice, but you need to rejoice. You ought to be able to rejoice in your salvation. You need to be able to rejoice in your salvation. But you need to be able to rejoice when somebody else gets saved. You need to be able to rejoice. Listen, it's good to watch these young'uns and older folks come to get saved.
Amen.
And get bought out of their sin. Get paid for. Listen, Jesus has already paid for you. But I want you to look what it said, verse 7. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Heaven. He said heaven, joy shall be in heaven. Right here, I believe heaven knows. I believe heaven knows. I can't explain that. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. I don't know if I remember when they talk about Sam Jones getting saved. Sam Jones Jr., he was that fiery Methodist preacher. You know, back in the day, the Methodists didn't want to have nothing to do with him. Now they got a statue to him down there in Cartersville, right. Georgia, you know. Back in the day, didn't want to have nothing to do with him. And Sam Jones, he was a drunkard. And listen, that's the one that his daddy come in there, and as his daddy was dying, told all his kids, I brought him in there one at a time and said, "I'll see you in the morning." Can you tell your young'uns that? When you get ready to leave out here on your deathbed, can you tell your young'uns you'll see them in the morning? Do you know that you're saved? When Johnny got ready to leave, when Johnny Coleman, this is amazing. When Johnny got ready to leave, he brought his kids in there and told them all to take care of their mama. And see, tonight this is in the evening time. And told them all to take care of their mama and make sure everything was going to be okay with her and mind what she had to say. And see to her, told them that they needed to get right with the Lord. He was leaving. And by morning, he was dead. Now, God's got a way of letting us know when we're leaving.
Right.
He don't do everybody that way, but you know, He does some that way. And I don't know why some and others He don't. But Sam Jones, let me get back here. Sam Jones. His daddy brought him in there as he's fixing to go. And he said, Sam, he said, this is not I'll see you in the morning. He said, this is goodbye, for you've never been saved. And so he went through that funeral after his daddy died just that next day. And he went through that funeral and got through all that. Boy, God bothered him and bothered his heart. And he got over there on that gravestone where his daddy was laid up at. And he got saved right there on the grave of his daddy. And he asked heaven. He asked heaven. He said, would you just tell my daddy that I'll see him in the morning. See you in the morning. We ought to be able to tell each other we'll see you in the morning. Or to have that assurance. Or to be able to rejoice in heaven. Or to be able to rejoice that when we leave here, we don't have to worry about hell. And we don't have to worry about that condemnation. We don't have to worry about judgment. Because it's all been paid for. It's all been taken care of. I'll see you in the morning, friends. If you're saved, I'll see you in the morning.
Amen.
I'll see you in the morning.
Lord.
It gets rough, don't it? It gets rough along this way. And I'm speaking from personal experience. And it may not seem like He's there sometimes. But you remember that if you asked Him to save you, He bought you.
Amen.
And He paid for you. You belong to Him. If you got saved, you belong to Him. He's yours and you're His. He's bought with the precious blood of Christ. Have you ever come to Him and say, I want you to buy me. I need to be saved. I remember that night that I got saved. And it used to bother me more than what it does now. Because people say, well, you didn't say the right thing or you didn't do the right thing. Or I tell you, the night that I got saved, all I knew was I was lost. And I needed to get saved. That's all I knew. And I knew that if I asked Jesus to do it, thank God for that. That He would do it.
Amen.
He was faithful then. He's faithful today.
Oh yeah.
He still got me and holding on to me. Told you I've been beat to death for a year and a half, almost 2 years. Just beat to death, it feels like. Just beat to death, beat to death. Fighting a battle, beaten to death. But you know, every now and again, the Lord comes and smiles on me. And the battle don't quit. He just smiles on me. Boy, and I'm so glad that I know He's in here. I'd hate to face this battle alone. I would. Most of all, I'd hate to think that I was dying going to hell.
Right.
Not having to go. Because Jesus was the price of my redemption. Let's